program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, it seems that people are getting fired, should we say canceled, for so many things these days. Mm-hmm. You have a story to share with us from across the pond, as they say.
I love that phrase, across the pond. Of course, it's a big pond. We're right. Talking about the Atlantic Ocean. I was reading about a school chaplain this is a 48-year-old Reverend Bernard Randall in Trent College. It appears he lost his job as a Christian. Is that a Christian school, considered a Christian school? And he was reported to the government's counterterrorism watchdog, which is called PREVENT. That's the name of the organization, or the entity, for terrorism. And but it was after telling students that they were not compelled to accept an ideology that they disagreed with. And he preached a sermon on the biblical view of gender identity and same-sex relationships. After being approached by students who, this is according to the Christian Post, who were confused and had become upset over some of the material being taught by a new LGBT-inclusive curriculum at the school. And the curriculum was introduced at, and this is an independent, not a public school, but an independent school, and there was a founder of an organization called Educate and Celebrate. It's an LGBT, meaning lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans education entity. And this founder held this training with the staff on how they could embed gender, this is quote, embed gender and gender identity and sexual orientation into the fabric of your school. Now, listen to this. This chaplain said he became alarmed when the staff were instructed during the training session to chant, smash hetero, which means opposite sex, normativity. So it's heteronormativity, smash that which would be opposite sex, which when you think of homosexuality, that's same sex. When you think of heterosexuality, that's opposite sex. Basically, normativity, meaning what is normal, and they're to smash it. And they were told, these who were training the staff at the school, at the college, they were told that gender identity is a protected characteristic under the Equality Act. Well, he said that when he raised concerns, he was told by the head teacher that he would be involved in any decision as to whether the school would implement the Educate and Celebrate program. But then he discovered the following day that this was January 2019, that it had already been adopted. And when he was asked, or when he asked, why he had not been included in the discussions, he said it was because he might disagree. That was the reason given. So in a sermon called Competing Ideologies, the chaplain presented the Christian view on gender identity, that we are made, created by God, and what male and female, and what he created was good. So And so he encouraged debate, meaning that the chaplain was encouraging debate and told the students, they were ages 11 to 17, that no one characteristic in the Equality Act was more protected than another. And he also told the students that they could make up their own minds about gender identity. He wasn't dictating. And so the following week, he was told that his sermon had hurt people's feelings and he was being suspended pending an investigation. And so there's more to this article in the Christian Post. By the way, I want to recommend, if you want to be informed, you can subscribe to a free downloads on the Christian Post. But what you find is that this chaplain became terrified, unable to sleep, because he was, you know, he found out he had been reported to this anti-terrorism group. And he said, what was I to tell my family? Being reported as a potential terrorist, extremist, a danger to children? He said, arguably, they're the worst crimes you could be accused of. And when I found out that they had reported me without telling me, my mind was blown trying to comprehend everything about it. And then ultimately he's lost his job. And then he said, I don't think the Church of England is an extremist organization. By the way, he was presenting the Church of England's positions. So I think we need to think about this. I think we need to be more informed. And I think we need to know what is going on that we're not being told about.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in just a moment. But if you have questions about any of these topics that we raise here on the program, you can call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE, and they'd be glad to connect you with some resources that will be helpful for you. We have identity and self-image. That is called knowing what's true about you, and that might be of help for you and assistance as you sort through your own identity and as you know who you are in Christ and who God has made you to be. Also, we have the Keys for Living called Homosexuality, the Struggle with Same-Sex Attraction. Again, customer support can be reached at 800-488-HOPE, and that's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be glad to help you and get the resources in your hands. Again, their number, 800-488-4673. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight. Listening on KCBI here in Texas, we have tonight Lynn.
Well, welcome to Hope, Lynn. How can we help you?
Well, good evening, June. I've heard your shows, and I do have a problem with the bully problem.
So what's going on, and who is the bully?
The bully is my ex-husband and several of his supposedly new friends that I learned about while in the midst of the divorce.
Who are these new friends?
There's some Mormon people, and some are in country music, and some are in dangerous positions.
Dangerous positions, did you say?
People like villains, like wanted people.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I got a divorce 16 years ago. And immediately after my divorce, he abducted my daughter and got her into drugs. And that's when I started learning about his Mormon friends and all these others. And the only time
How old was your daughter when you said he abducted your daughter?
How old was she?
She was an adult at the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how did you know that he abducted her as opposed to her just going with him?
My daughter would not have gone with him willingly. I did find out later, much later, that he and her were both in collusion at a point later that I was totally unaware of. But he got her, he had to get her involved in drugs to get everything that he planned taken care of.
Wow. Boy, this is a painful scenario.
It's a different one. but it hurts here.
Okay, so you said when you said I have a bully problem, and I said who you're talking about, your ex-husband, and how did he treat you during the marriage?
We had a very abusive marriage.
Abusive in what way? What? How did he abuse you?
It physically and emotionally and every way. I should never have married him. There was an altercation with my dad 3 weeks before our wedding, and it was it involved my daughter. My ex-husband abused my daughter while we were visiting my parents, and my dad immediately came to my daughter's rescue, and my ex-husband got really ugly with my dad and got into a fight. And my dad told him that if he ever touched my daughter like that again, that he would take care of him.
So you're saying that your dad came upon a scene, a situation where your to-be husband, whom you did marry,
yes.
He was, are you saying he was sexually being inappropriate with your daughter?
No, he got onto my daughter and picked her up, I mean, just yanked her up by one arm and was holding her up in the air and shaking her real bad and just really, really yelling at her harshly.
And my dad
made him stop.
Okay, yeah, that's, there's something called a shaking syndrome that you don't do with children, because it actually can impact the brain, and it can cause permanent damage to the brain. A lot of people don't know that, but so you're exactly right. And so how old was your daughter at that time?
She was about, let's see, a year and a half, about 2 years old.
So she was very young.
Yes, she was.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so obviously your dad confronted the husband-to-be, and what was the response right after that?
There was a heated argument and almost fist fight.
Okay. And
from then on, I did go through with the marriage. I almost called it off, and I wish a million times that I had, because that was a huge red flag. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And after we were married, it went downhill from there. He harbored malice towards my mom and dad. And the anger just grew and festered through the years, all the time with me and my daughter paying the price. And there was never a relationship with his family towards my daughter, because his mother resented him marrying me since I had a child.
Interesting. So
there was never an actual close marriage between me and him because of the abuse, and the fact that whenever we did get married, on our wedding night, there was never a wedding night, period, because on the wedding night, he claimed that he was too tired to do anything.
So no consummation?
No. Okay. Not until the next day.
Wow. So, and by the way, you know that every one of us could wish, oh, if only I had, and it's that phrase, if only I had done this, and where we didn't. And
I know.
But so just say that, because you're certainly not unique, and yet those are potent, powerful lessons to teach us, you know, wait a minute. When someone is being absolutely inappropriate, somebody who's being violent, you don't just go on. There has to be a confrontation. There has to be a boundary or something that takes place.
Yeah.
But many people don't know about boundaries until later, if at all. So I hear what you're saying. So you were married for how long?
We were married for 35 years.
Okay, wow.
And in those 35 years, by the time we were married 30 years, he had had over 35 jobs and been fired from every one of them.
Ooh.
With each and every one, he always said that the first words out of his mouth were always, it wasn't my fault.
Would you call that the blame game? That's what I call it.
I guess you would. Whenever it's habitual like that, it's something is wrong.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the classic defense tactic to get the blame off of oneself and to put it, it's called blame shifting.
He was the king of that role, because each and every time he would not let me and my daughter have close friends. And he always instructed us that anything that happened in our house, we couldn't tell anybody outside our house. So he was very much a manipulator and a controller.
So did you not tell anyone? You did not have a confidant?
I did not have a confidant per se. I told very little because I was scared of him because he did get physical. In my estimation, I think he was, maybe his family had suffered a curse or something through the years on them due to the way they lived. Because as our marriage, as we got further into our marriage, there were other stuff that he admitted to that just absolutely stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Such as
he had some cousins that he grew up with. They grew up in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he admitted to me that they had had sex with farm animals when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just threw that out there like it was nothing. And I just thought, oh, what, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I didn't need to hear because I just thought it was awful. I mean, that's mm-hmm. not something, you know, that most people do, much less just speak of so openly.
Well, this is called bestiality, and it is actually forbidden in the Bible. And
uh-huh.
So a lot of people don't know everything the Bible teaches and don't know a lot, but, this is what we call perversion. He had a perverted mindset.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, when permitted to continue on as he did, then it impacts others. And you're right about the word control. You're right about the word manipulation and the word control. And it makes sense that he tried to shut you up and shut you off from people.
He
classic.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, when we get back, I hate what you've gone through. I'm so, so sorry. I want to know what the situation is now. I hear what it was, certainly. And then, what is your question for me? How can I help you? I want you to know there are people right now praying for you. Because I know many in our listening audience, that's what they feel compelled to do, to pray for those who have great challenges.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry, and we just want to say thank you. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. They'd love to help you and to get the right resources into your hands. Let me recommend to you The Keys for Living, called Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory Over the Power of Abuse. That and other resources can be obtained as you get in touch with customer support. Again, 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about something that's going on in your life, and you do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, leave a detailed message, and we'll get right back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with Lynn.
Well, Lynn, you've certainly experienced a great deal of the underside of life. And I mentioned that what you described at the last about the sex with farm animals, I said that's called bestiality, and it's found in Leviticus 17. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Leviticus 18, verse 23. It says, do not have sexual relations with an animal, and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. And that's why I said it's called perversion. It's perverted thinking. It, you know, typically, little children, they don't have a perverted mind at all. But they're introduced more and more to that which is not right in God's sight. And if permitted to continue on, then it can become more and more perverted. What God would have created for good, this sexual relationship between a husband and a wife, is God's design. But then when that is perverted, then it only invites increased perversion. So I know that you know that now. And not that you were involved in that, but sometimes it just helps for us to know what God says in His Word. It's not just my opinion or your opinion, but it's what the God of the Bible, the God who created us, said. So I said I would like for you to tell me, you started out telling me that your husband, your ex-husband, not only abused you, but
my daughter.
Your daughter. And then what I'm hearing is that...
my wife met her when she was young, too. And she always told me that she would tell me about it when she got older.
Mm-hmm.
But, and she told me that every several years. But then I was in abuse counseling. I did 3 years of counseling at Prestonwood Counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they recommended that that they wanted to send me to an abuse counselor. So I did 2 years with the abuse counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And the abuse counselor she called my daughter one day because she wanted to have my daughter do abuse counseling at the same time with me. But mm-hmm. my daughter refused because she said that she felt like she couldn't talk about it then.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what she was referring to.
Are you saying you knew what it was, what she was referring to as to what you have just shared, or was there more?
Yes, there was probably more.
Okay. What more?
Because he was also, later on, before our divorce, he was threatening her with doing things to me, and he was threatening my dad with doing things to my dad if she told anybody anything.
Yeah. Mm. You know, those threats, that is classic. That is the manipulation part. That's,
he threatened me. He threatened me all the time. I mean, there was many times, there was hardly a night that went by that I got to where I could read the signs of, because his anger turned into rage. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter if I said a word or not. All I had to do was just be under the same roof. But it got to the point where there was certain signs that would alert me that whenever I saw, like, he would start fidgeting. And then he started doing things with his fingers. And then if he was sitting down, he would either cross his legs and start swinging his legs, or either he would start just kind of shuffling his feet around whenever he was sitting down. And then he would get up and walk down the hall in our home a couple of times. And then the next time he came back into the den, well, then I was about to get it. I mean, that was just the classic way everything came about. And he would get, it was really weird because I could watch his facial features and the temples on his the veins on his forehead and at his temples, they would really puff up and start throbbing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could literally see the anger developing.
Yes. So
he would start giving me demands because he had found, by this time he had found out some news about what I was due to inherit, and he was extremely obsessed with that. And that, I mean, he started giving me demands of I was going to do this and this and this and this and this and buy all these things for him, and I would just say, no, I'm not.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's about the only thing I would ever say.
Yeah. And this means, obviously, you were being threatened and that the harm would come to your dad, because that's what the threat was. And so you felt protective toward your dad. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Because I had to go to court to become his legal guardian about another couple that was working. I learned later that they were working with my ex-husband to take advantage of my dad. Yes.
Oh, no.
And some other terrible family members who had not inherited from my dad's sister that he had inherited from, who lived in Highland Park.
Mm.
And I referred to them as the McCoys.
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
And the McCoys.
Oh, that's exactly
what they were like.
Shoot. Oh, wow. So you have family on different sides and collusion. Because, logically, somebody could think, well, why didn't you just leave knowing that he was perverted and doing, immoral things? But
he told me, he threatened me all the time and told me that he had people in cities all around Texas that I couldn't go out of town for the weekend or anything like that, because he would, like several times I was going to go out of town for the weekend because living with him was just living hell. And
yes.
But he would catch me packing, and he would threaten me and tell and say something like, I to- told you, you know, that I have people in any town that anything you do, I'm going to know about, and you might not make it back.
Did you believe him?
I did believe him, yes. Because, I mean, he threatened me with knives several times, and he would choke me and my daughter, and there was lots of times that I was afraid that I was not going to be able to get to my daughter to come to her rescue before she lapsed into unconsciousness, and vice versa. She saved me several times too, lots of times. But finally, there was one really, really, really bad time whenever he choked me and I thought I was dying. And I ran out of the house and had to leave to just get away. And I called my daughter and told her what had happened. And I told her that I was going to be leaving town the next morning for a few days, but I would stay in touch with her. And I did. But after he kidnapped my daughter and got her into drugs and everything, he has also gotten her into porno and made a porno movie with her.
Oh, no, no.
But but the worst part of this is that I learned about that time, just shortly before our divorce, I learned that I think this is the real reason for his anger, because he was projecting everything on me and my daughter due to the fact that he was homosexual.
Oh.
And after he kidnapped my daughter, now he has done a transgender on my daughter, and he's transgender also.
So he now presents as a female, and your daughter presents as a male.
As male, I guess. That's the way I see it.
Have you seen her?
I have.
Your daughter?
Not. Okay. I have not.
And you learned this part. Okay, is he the one who told you this?
No. I have not talked to him. I've hired private detectives on several instances, and that's where I've gotten most of my information. Some of it I've gotten myself by doing my own detective work. I've followed people lots of times and done my own detective work, because I finally reached where I couldn't afford to hire private detectives anymore.
And is your dad deceased?
Yes, he is. Okay. And I fully believe and substantiate that my ex-husband was involved.
So you think he was involved, your ex-husband, in the death of your dad?
Yes.
That's heartbreaking. I'm so sorry.
And probably my mom, because there was an accident at the church that I grew up in Oak Cliff, the Gospel Lighthouse Church. And my mom was attacked in that church.
All right. Would you pray for our friend, Lynn? Please pray for her.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to Hope for the Heart, you can do that. It's very easy to do. Just go to hopefortheheart.org. Look for the donate button there. Very simple to do, either on your computer or your phone. It's probably right there next to you. And again, it's hopefortheheart.org. And look for the donate button there. By the way, every dollar goes directly to broadcast airtime to reach more people. So we thank you for that. If you have questions about these topics or any number of topics that we have, we do have over 100 keys for living that will help you address whatever issue is going on in your life, maybe in the life of someone you care about, and can pass that information along as well. Call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can help you access the resources that you need. Again, the number is 800-488-4673, and that will get you right in touch with them. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources, and you can find it all again at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return to the conversation now with Lynn.
Well, Lynn, my heart and care goes out to you because obviously you've learned an immense amount. And I'm going to make an assumption, but you tell me if this is true or not. Do you think if you had it to do over early, you know, when you first met this man whom you ultimately married, do you think at any point you would have chosen a different course of direction, a different course?
Definitely. You know, it's funny. You know how your first impression is always right?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
It definitely was with him, because whenever I was first introduced to him, I did not like him at all. I mean, he had so many characteristics that I saw then of a homosexual, and I thought, no, it can't be. But no, I mean, it just, no. I didn't like him at all. He was very arrogant. He was very aloof. He was very rude. And no, but he was very deceitful also.
And so the real reason you married him was what?
I think I was probably a little desperate at the time, being mm-hmm. a single mother with a child, and he came along, you know, at that time, and he, you know, I told him, you know, that no, I will not go out with you again, and he said, well, he would be nicer, and he put on an act, you know, and had me believing it. But it was, you know, it started to unfold, you know, unravel immediately mm-hmm. after we were married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I know that many, many people marry, and it's exactly the word you used, desperate. I'm desperate uh-huh. for attachment. Uh-huh. And the assumption is, well, any father would be better than no father, which yes, is absolutely definitely. Not true. But see, you hear that. Oh, any father, everybody has to have a father in the home. You know, it's that mentality. No, the Bible says, in fact, it's very significant that we are to, the scripture is actually bad company corrupts good character. Mm-hmm. And so there are warnings of not to make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do
Absolutely.
Not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Yeah, and I know that you know it now. And the issue is not, I have no heart to try to convict you of what you have learned. But so what was your desire when you first placed this call? And thank you for your candor. Thank you for your really revealing the truth about what has gone on in your life.
Sure.
So your question for me is?
Okay, he's been diagnosed with extreme schizophrenia, and I am concerned about my daughter's well-being because he set up an accident in the state of Indiana, and I've been trying to get information on that accident, but the Indiana State Police has been no help at all, and that's open public records.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay about my daughter. I'm heartbroken because of her being transgender and mixed up with all the Mormons, because all the Mormons and everything, I've been getting more threats from them, and he and the Mormons have made problems with me accessing my my inheritance and my trust account.
And your inheritance, is this from your father or your
yes,
father and mother?
Yes.
Okay.
My father and mother.
So how have they blocked that?
I have no idea. They're one of them is they've made bogus debts that they say I owe, and that's not true. And they want me to pay for half of the transgender surgery deal, and I certainly am not. I had no part in it. I didn't even know about it, and I certainly do not condone it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so do you have legal representation that you have confidence in, like with the family law attorney?
That's the most troubling thing, because I get, I contact lawyers. I mean, I can't tell you how many Christian lawyers that I have contacted. And Kelly Shackelford is one. And mm-hmm. several others I could give you the name of for help, and they have turned me down for help.
Well, Kelly Shackelford, those are cases for First Liberty. Those are different kinds of, it's like, it's a, more of a political or, that's a different kind of law firm.
Because they're
great. But you're needing a different kind of lawyer. In other words, First Liberty deals with cases that would go against the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which permits freedom of religious expression. So, see that's not what you're needing, but you are needing somebody in. It's typically called a family law
family
arena,
criminal.
Ma'am.
I was told family and criminal, and I've been told
okay.
that it's a case for the district attorney also, but if I go to the district attorney with the case, I'm turned down. And if I call a lawyer to try to get some information and set up a meeting to get more information, there's someone listening on my phone and controlling my phone, and they will do, then I never hear back from any of the attorneys. Any mm-hmm. authority that I contact at all for help, I never get through to them because of someone that's manipulating my phone calls and controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken to AT&T about this, and they've been working on the security problem for a year, and still it goes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's been how long since you have actually seen your daughter face-to-face?
Face-to-face, let's see, it was in 2008. And that was only to verify that she was on drugs, and she definitely was. I paid a surprise visit to her home, which my ex-husband had just bought them a larger home, and two new cars to bribe her. And they were, she and her husband both were irrational as they could be. They were so high on drugs, and they were so ugly to me and a friend that went with me. And I mm-hmm. could not, I mean, I couldn't believe that that was my daughter, period.
Yeah. Well,
and I
okay.
have not talked to her since then either.
Okay.
But I would like to, I mean, I would like to verify that she's still alive, because mm-hmm. these people are pulling tricks, and I mean, she could be dead, you know, and this transgender thing could just be some type of a trick.
Wow. Well, that is a possibility. So since you can't verify for yourself that she is transgender, and that's not been a
yes.
part of what you thought her orientation was in terms of how she lived, is that correct? That was not
no.
a part of a
no.
any fascination that she had or ideology.
No.
Okay.
My daughter was always happy with, you know, being herself. So someone definitely influenced her big time.
Well, and drugs, depending on the drug, can have huge impact. So I hear what you're saying. And so the number one thing you were wanting from me was in our conversation.
This whole thing has, I've always been a very, very good Christian, and worked in the church. My family and I, my mom and dad and me did everything at Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught Sunday school classes, I taught vacation Bible school, and always loved God. But this whole thing, I mean, just constant believing in God and praying and having nothing but obstacles, and him tying up my money and my inheritance and everything. It's just, I mean, it's really weighing on me. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want my walk with God, you know, to be just totally ruined. But, I mean, it's just become more than I can bear.
Okay, and so therefore you are questioning what?
I'm questioning, my ex-husband has a contract out on my life.
Hmm.
And, I've learned that my daughter's involved with my first husband now. And it's just, my first marriage was supposed to be, you know, a fantasy marriage. And it was, to start with. But, I need encouragement, you know, because I'm going to go on with my life. I don't
okay.
want to be stuck.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna first, and we can come back and talk again if you wish. Okay. I'm going to send you something that is going to be an encouragement, and it's called Trials. It's basically how we are refined as gold as we go through the refining process of trials. You hang on to hope.
We will send resources to tonight's caller free of charge, and we do that because of your generous support of this ministry. We thank you for that, and we will be sending the Keys for Living called Trials, God's Refining Fire. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. It's a free download. Find it wherever you find your apps. Again, it's called Hope for the Heart. And I hope you'll enjoy that and check that out. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.